ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Despite high interest rates and a cost of living crisis, house prices have continued to rise, pushing the dream of home ownership further out of reach for so many Australians. Experts say a range of tax incentives have encouraged the use of housing as a tool for wealth creation in Australia over a long period of time. But new modelling from the Parliamentary Budget Office is putting changes to capital gains tax and negative gearing back on the table, claiming it could help even out the market and raise billions of dollars that could be spent on building new housing stock. Crossbench Senators David Pocock and Jackie Lambie commissioned the modelling together, and they're together again in Parliament House to speak to us. Welcome.
Good morning. Good
morning, Patricia.
Okay, so you both commissioned this together. I just want to go to the mechanics of working together on some of this. To you first, David Pocock, are you trying to kind of build an alliance around some big reforms here to put pressure on the government?
Well, we're in a housing crisis. We're seeing home ownership declining. That report today is saying that rental affordability has never been worse. All options should be on the table. And the one thing that Labor don't want to talk about, and the Coalition certainly don't want to talk about, is tax reform. We have such a generous system when it comes to investment properties. And if we're going to actually solve this, we've got to start to turn this around.
Jackie Lambie, you've both had negative gearing and capital gains tax in your sights for a while. What does this new modelling show that you think demonstrates that reform is necessary?
Well, I have to say, PK, myself, that I think this modelling is great. I think it's fantastic. It's even given us five options. I mean, how could you possibly go wrong there? So what we wrote about is that, first of all, when you make a contract with the people of Australia, you should keep that. So we wanted to make sure that anything that was, any deals that have already been done have been grandfathered. We want to make sure that those deals are honoured. That was the first thing that we wanted to make sure was done. But where do we go from here? So what we learned is that there's just over 70% of Australians that actually have their own dwelling that they live in, plus one investment property. And we said, okay, well, how much money does this save over the 10-year period or by 2034? And I mean, you're looking at $16 billion just from that option in itself. That first option that we've taken, or option number three, which is on your, I imagine you've got the...
options, yeah.
The options there. That seemed to be probably the easiest one that you'd be able to sell, where people can grandfather their existing properties with any new builds. If you've got a residence that you're living in but you want to add a one house to your portfolio, then go ahead. But the amount of money that will save in the long run will be phenomenal. Now, in saying this as well, it's going to take some courage here from the Prime Minister. This is just one of the moves that needs to be made. You know, there's other moves that are going to be made as well. But going out there when we haven't even, and I'm not offering billions and billions of dollars to build new housing out there when we haven't even turned the soil yet, which I find disingenuous in itself, and neither have I heard any of him taking that to National Cabinet and working out where all those greenfield sites for those places are going to be. We've heard nothing more since his billions of dollars, here you go build houses. So this is really worrying. So on top of that, we should be looking at this, and quite personally, I want to be looking and doing what New Zealand's doing. This is my own thing as well, and I put it out there this morning, is that we need to be looking at overseas investment, because quite frankly, New Zealand has stopped it when it comes to the housing market, and I think it's something else that we need to look at. So there's probably five or six other moves that you can make here to make housing affordability and housing availability out there much easier for people in years to come. But right now, we're not in a good place.
David Pocock, the modelling, as Jackie Lambie explained, has a few options. What do you think is appealing or could be actually, you know, politically, you could convince voters is a good idea?
Well, I think this modelling really debunks a lot of the arguments against it, which are often based on myth. But I think putting some really sensible limits around our, I'd say, very generous tax concessions, while protecting existing investors, as Jackie said, that could boost housing affordability. It could increase rates of home ownership. There's other separate modelling that shows that these sorts of changes could take home ownership back to the levels we had in the 1990s, and at the same time deliver between $16 and $60 billion, worth of savings to the Commonwealth Government. And I'd argue that that's money that should be spent on social and affordable housing. We need to see the government step up. A lot was made of the Housing Australia Future Fund. That's only $500 million a year. Here you're talking, you know, $16 to $60 billion over a decade. That is a way to start to turn the ship around.
You've acknowledged, Jackie Lamy, that previous modelling shows changes to these tax concessions would only lower house prices by around 2%. Is that going to be enough to help people get into the market?
I think one of our biggest problems is right now is housing supply. And whilst we don't have supply out there, then the cost of housing will continue to go up. I think that is our number one factor. We've got to do something about supply out there and what is the best way to attack that and attack that fairly quickly. I don't want to take 20 years to do this. And this is the problem with government. They seem to just, each day is just a day and we'll just get things done. Well, we're in a crisis out there when it comes to housing, especially those people who can't afford it. And that is where my problems are. We need to start making some major moves here and someone needs to have the courage to do that, and that would be the government of the day.
Do you understand their reluctance? I mean, we use the word courage, but yeah, they've been burnt when they've put proposals, at least from opposition, to the public. The kind of scare campaigns are pretty intense on these issues, aren't they, Jackie Lampy?
Yeah, I don't think anybody gives a stuff about negative gearing out there. Most people, unless you've got one house yourself, unless you've got one and one house that you're actually renting out yourself, I seriously don't, because the way things are out there, I can tell you most people out there that are going without, and there is a lot of them that can't afford housing, that are going for couch surfing from one couch to the next, and people out there that just haven't got a lot of money, I think that, you know, people can go back to Bill Shorten's election and say it was the negative gearing talk that blew him out of water. That's absolute rubbish. I can tell you now, running around during that period of time trying to win my own seat back, I heard nothing about that negative gearing in Tasmania. Nothing at all. So I don't have a problem. I've got the courage. David Pocock's got the courage up here. We're bringing it forward. We'll have the argument across the table. But the Prime Minister needs to show some more courage, because the way he's doing it, you've got to stop slapping Band-Aids on it and just saying, hey, we're going to chuck $500 million a year into building new houses that we haven't even turned the soil on yet. Well, you have to make other moves, mate. Otherwise, this is just not going to work out at all. And we're going to be in the same situation we're in today in 10 years' time.
David Pocock, is this something you hope is in the federal budget? It's looming in May. We haven't obviously heard any ambition from the government to kind of really deal with some of the tax treatment here, but is that enough time to build a political consensus?
Well, it's just so urgent for leaders to actually step up and provide solutions. As Jackie was saying, there's the people who've made investment decisions, but let's not forget that that's 15% of Australians have an investment property. And I think it's over 75% of those people only have one investment property. But then there's a bunch of people who have, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think most Australians would say, well, that's probably not fair given what we're seeing. This is a way to start to turn that around. And I think we've got to be thinking about the future of Australia. Do we want a society where you have people whose families have accumulated wealth, they have property that they pass down to their kids, or they can be the bank of mum and dad to help their kids get in the market? And then you've got a whole other group of Australians who will never own a home, won't even be able to entertain that thought. That's not the Australia I'm hearing from, you know, people I represent that they want. And so that's going to take courage to start to turn this around. This is not the silver bullet, but tax reform absolutely has to be part of this.
Have you shared, Jackie Lambie, your modelling with the Treasurer and the government?
No, we only got this modelling back in the last 24 hours or 48 hours. So no, we have not. But no doubt that's where that'll be going this morning.
And how important is this issue in all of your negotiations with the government? I mean, obviously you are key crossbenchers. Is this something that you're constantly raising?
Oh, PK, I have to be honest with you. I don't think it comes down to negotiations. This comes down to common sense and doing the right thing and having courage. That's what this comes down to. Not negotiations. You've got five options here that we can use. Obviously, option three is a little bit lighter on, a little bit easier, so it doesn't take, you know, too much money off anyone or anything like that. So that's the option that we're looking at. But, I mean, if they want to go harder and they want to make more money out of this and put it back into our tax system so it goes to those who actually need it, then there you go. There's four other options there. Go hard. But, seriously, we're giving them the easiest option, and that's option number three. With a whole new build, obviously you can grandfather what you already have, but you will only have the residence that you're living in, plus your investment property on top. That's all we're asking for, and I don't think that's a lot to ask from not just us, but many other millions of Australians out there that would like to see this done.
Just on a completely different topic, but clearly one that's very much on the top of the political agenda today, and that's Elon Musk and his fight essentially with the Australian government over what he calls free speech. Jackie Lambie, should Elon Musk be allowed to publish this video of this alleged stabbing of a bishop in Western Sydney? He says that it's about free speech, is it?
No, Elon Musk has no social conscience or conscience whatsoever. I don't know, whatever Elon Musk is on, it says that that's okay to continue to air that is absolutely disgusting behaviour. And quite frankly, the bloke should be jailed. And the sooner that we can bring rules in or do something about this sort of game playing with our social media, the better off we're going to be. But quite frankly, the power that that man has because of that platform that he's on, it's got to stop. It has absolutely got to stop. But leaving that out for our kids to see, for people that were family and friends out there, and just letting that run on there. Once again, that bloke has no conscience. He's an absolute frigging disgrace. And there's nothing else to say about Elon Musk.
David Pocock, do you support the government in their attempts to, you know, challenge this in the court and obviously look at even broader laws that you'd have to vote on?
I do, and I hope this leads to a bigger conversation around social media companies. These companies are often not good faith actors. They are monetizing our attention. They're serving us ads. We are the product when we use things like Meta, you know, Facebook, Instagram, and I'm really concerned about the effect that that's having on all of us. And these multinational companies have proven time and time again that they're willing to bully governments and countries like Australia and not uphold their part of the bargain of being able to run their businesses here in Australia. So I hope that this extends beyond just this latest move from Elon Musk, but to a broader conversation around how do you regulate things like social media?
Yeah, Jackie Lambie, social media companies more broadly, obviously X is at the centre of this particular dispute, but more broadly have been alarming people. Obviously TikTok is another one. Parents are very concerned. What do we do? I mean, I often hear politicians talking very tough about social media companies and then it's business as usual.
Yeah, it is business as usual. They don't seem to really care that much, or they're too scared to take them on. I'm not really sure. But what I do know is after doing the Veteran Mentors camp for 12 days over the Christmas period, these are kids at most at risk. Do you know, PK, that 65% of them were on that camp because they had tech addictions? These are kids between 13 years of age and 17 years of age. And I watched these guys, and I tell you what, it was just absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, I go into aged care and I look at those Webster packs that our aged care people are on, fair enough. You should have seen those Webster packs that were being dropped off to me, the drugs and that these kids were on as well because of their tech addiction. So it goes right across the board, and I think that we need to start from that younger generation, whether it's the game playing, whether it's the TikTok, what it's doing to more so to our young children out there, or those kids, you know, going up to 25 and under. It's just catastrophic. I don't know what else to say, but I tell you, between the bullying, you know, that's going on out there, the way that they treat each other, this is no way to run society, and it's actually getting worse, and it is not good for the mental health of our young people out there. Something needs to be done, and we need to really lay some laws down about social media. The problem is, I just feel like we're 10 years behind.
Yeah, so many people worried about this. I'm glad we've talked about it. Thank you to both of you.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Crossbench Senators David Pocock and Jackie Lambie there. You're listening to RN Breakfast.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines. on the ABC Listen app.